Welcome to Shotgun Story, the podcast that has conversations with indie creators about music, meaning, and the point of it all, so that you may be inspired by the journeys of other artists who are doing it for themselves, and maybe gain a little more understanding as to why it matters quite so much that you keep creating. Tandeka Mfunyongo is a musician. She's a preserver of African indigenous instruments, at least the ones that she plays, and she's interested in archiving traditional instruments. She is not quite in studio with me today, but she is here. She has her master's in music, she's doing her PhD through Rhodes University, and she is a lecturer at Northwestern University in African music. And I'm very excited to have her here, and honored, in fact. Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
There are a couple of things I'd like to speak about today, but let's start at the very beginning. Tell me about your journey into becoming a musician.
It's not that long, but it feels like it is. I started in church, singing in the choir, church, and I really, to be honest, I never really thought I would be like a musician. I never thought of myself as a singer. Like, I never thought I was good at like singing, because I heard like people were really good at singing. But I always loved anything that had to do with arts. I did drama in this theater. There was a theater called Rau in Cape Town. So I would travel to Delft, you know, to go rehearse and come back to church, like sing at church. I was not particularly chosen to lead, because I guess I was not the best singer. So it started there, and then I went to study teaching, funny enough, because also studying music was never really an option from home, like not a thing that you could go and study, you know. And then I started teaching, and then I went to teach grade twos and grade ones for 5 years. And then I remember the last year that I taught grade R, and then the following year my mom woke me up and like, girl, aren't you going to school? Aren't you supposed to? And I was like, nope, I quit. I didn't tell her that I had quit. I was just done. I was tired. I was like, it needs to be something else. That's not this. Yeah. And then I joined these community music classes, and I started playing the guitar there, and my teacher passed away and my playing passed away. I stopped playing the guitar. And then in 2013, I was like, I'm just going to go and try at UCT. Applied for music, and then I applied for drama, because those were the two things that I wanted to do. I was already 27 then, in 2013. If they had accepted me, I was like, oh, I'm going to be studying with like the 18-year-olds, but okay, I don't look it, so let's go. So I got accepted to African music at UCT before I got a call for auditioning drama, and I was like, okay, perfect, bye. I won't be coming. So I started my journey in 2014 at 28 doing African music. And even then, it was I was interested in doing voice. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try this African music, and then when I'm inside, then I'll see if I can get into jazz. Mind you, I don't really have background in music, because I didn't do much there. But I was like, yeah, and then I don't know, that something in me, honestly, I can't explain it up to this day. It was like, what? And then you hear like, oh, these instruments are dying, da, 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 and you're like, wait a minute, how are these instruments dying when we hear? And then my interest just, I don't know, out of nowhere, I was like, I love this thing. And I fell in love with it, the instruments. I don't know. It was something that was meant to happen. And I feel like it chose me. Sometimes I always say that. I think African music chose me. I didn't really choose it. And I'm glad it did, because I've been loving the journey. It's been very difficult, but I've been loving learning and just getting to know myself through music.
That story definitely gave me goosebumps. I feel a bit teary.
Sorry.
It's so exciting. You play the uhadi and the umrube.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Umrube. Uhadi, umrube.
Umrube.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of those two instruments and what they actually are.
So uhadi, there's just a lot of stories. Uhadi is a one stringed instrument, and it has a calabash. So you strike it to play it. And it was played by married women, which excites me when I hear like African instruments like for women. Because when you look at it, African instruments, it's always men, and then women are singers, you know. They're the flowers that sing the high notes and all, but this one was for women, you know. So this one was for women. But yeah, so it was played by married women, and like I said, stories around it, because some people say when they wanted to turn the child on a pregnant woman, they would play uhadi to, I don't know how, if that's true, but it's all these different stories about the instrument, but that's what the instrument is about. And then umhube is also stories there. It was played by young people, you know, boys, girls, everyone, like young people. And some people say they would play it when they walk like long distances. Because, you know, in the villages, people would be sent to like a faraway village, and someone to keep themselves company would play that. Madosini has a different story. She says she used to play it if she hears that her boyfriend is dating someone else in another village. So as girls from her village, her friends, they would go together. They call it what? Ulusano, the thing they would do. It was Friday, so they would go, you know, playing this instrument to face the girl and all that. So that's another story.
Oh, I love that. It's a lot of interesting stories
around it, and it's so beautiful. I love that it's like these instruments are so mysterious and can really be whatever that you want them to be in any moment you want them to be. So yeah, it's those different stories about these two instruments. Oh, umhobe is also like it's smaller, it's a mouth bowl. Instead of using the calabash as the resonator for overtones and stuff, you use your mouth, and then you bow it when you play. You can strike it. Other people strike it as well, and they call that process of striking it ukangisa. So umkangi, it becomes umkangi instead of umhobe, because mkh is a hu, the sound, the bowing sound, but the striking is, yeah, so umkangi, played as umkangi.
Wonderful. And when you use your mouth on it, do you blow or do you hum or do you sing? How does it work?
It's everything. I'm going to reference Madosini a lot because I spent a lot of time with her and I'm so grateful. When I was learning from her, she says it's not because there's whistling. There's also a throat action that happens. I have a video here of her, like she literally put it on the throat. And then she started to play, and because she was explaining to me that it's not just the mouth, but it's also the throat, how you open and close your throat. So it's a lot of things that are happening as you play uhadi. But I'm not there yet. I do the basic one that we all do, which is try to whistle and to blow in or blow out, and try to open the throat so that you get fuller overtones. It's so beautiful. It's either you're getting the whistling out or you get these full overtones, like this melody that comes out when you use your throat, opening your throat while you play it. Yeah, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Amazing.
God.
No, you're making complete sense. It's wonderful and exciting. And you've mentioned Madosini a couple of times. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, tell us a little bit about who Madosini is.
I hope I don't get emotional. She was the library of the Xhosa indigenous instruments. They called her the national treasure, but she was really someone who really put a spotlight into the music, into the instruments. I don't know what country she didn't play in, but she really shined the spotlight on the uhadi, umhobe, and isidolodolo, and ukunqokola. She's one of the people, in fact, because she's not the only one. And she lived in Langa, Cape Town, and she was from a libode in Umtata. She was everything. She was a grandmother. She was a teacher. She was a mother musician, you know, and I'm so honored every time I think about how, man, I got to spend time with this human, like any second, you know, she would call, I would call her. And I think her calling was the most exciting one. I remember when I gave her my number, she said, Tanika, write your number on my phone. She had this small phone. I wrote my number and then she's like, show me your name. She couldn't read. And I showed her my name and I didn't understand what was happening. And then some, like, I don't know how many, maybe weeks or whatever, she calls me. I'm like, hi, Matosin, Inch. Hi, how are you? I'm like, who are you with? Who showed you my number? She's like, but you showed me your number. You showed me your name. What do you mean? And for me, that was like, are you real? Are you even a human? What do you mean?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you showed me your name. And I called, like, I'm sitting alone and I'm just thinking about you. I thought I'd call and check in. I haven't seen you. Where are you? And all that. But I was like, I was listening to her, but I'm like, you, okay, never mind. I don't know. It was so, like, yeah, mind blowing. That small thing. But for me, it was just how amazing of a human she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a little performance, a little YouTube performance that you and Madhusini and Msaki did. And I felt that I was privy to something really meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those moments, in moments you think about them later, because I mean, I was really excited and happy and honored to have sat with her in that way. We're literally sitting on her feet. She was sitting on this chair and we're literally like on her feet, like just, you know, getting the wisdom and just hearing her stories. And then you think about it after, you're like, that was such a, it felt like it was like a spiritual moment. I don't know. It's like, what were we doing? What was, you know what I mean? It's, I feel even more blessed to have sat with her like that and more, you know?
I mean, music always brings the magic, right? It creates these moments that feel like they're out of time, out of normal reality, which in fact brings me right into the next topic, which is Make Music Day. Because we're trying to encourage everybody to make music, whether they are musicians or whether they are not musicians. We want people to be making music. Tell me a little bit about Make Music Day.
Very exciting. I will be doing a performance. We have a time, like a time slot. I think it's different countries. I don't know how many countries exactly, but it's going to be this passing the beat type thing where I play for 10 minutes and then it moves to another country and then they do. It's such a beautiful initiative that I do not understand and I don't want to understand at this point. I'm just happy that I'm going to be having that day where we make music. And I will be, I've asked 2-3 students to play with me, which is really exciting because I love that collaborative thing. And it's not the type of music that they normally do. And we had our first rehearsal yesterday and it was amazing. And I was telling them, yo, I don't know when was the last time I sang, you know, as normal musicians, they sing every day, but I don't sing. Like I'm not the kind of musician that sings every day. It was so nice to sing yesterday, but also like, I love doing this thing. It's nice. So yeah. I'll be collaborating with the students from Northwest University for that slot. And yeah, so that's the minimal thing that I know about that day. I don't know a lot.
So what I know so far is it's called Pulsations, right?
Mm-hmm.
My question, though, is have you been given the beat that's going to be passed on yet? Or do you – okay.
I still, okay. That's a thing that I've been asking, like, are we – is there, like, a beat? Because I'm not trying to play – I would love to see how I can incorporate that into what I'm going to perform instead of it just being – oh, my 2 songs, my 10-minute slot, da-da-da-da. I've not gotten any, maybe they're still going to send the stuff, but either way, I'm excited. I'm just excited to do it. And yeah.
So now I know that's on the 21st of June, but do you have a time yet that you're going to be performing?
I do have the time. Is it 5 to 6 until 5 past? Let me just...
Well, I'll definitely be sharing on my platforms the details anyway. Okay. But you know where people can watch it?
I do not know where people can watch it.
Okay, amazing. Then definitely tune back to the Shotgun Tori page on Instagram, at Shotgun Tori, because I'm going to update everybody on Friday, the 21st of June, about time and how you can watch it and et cetera, et cetera. It's just so exciting. I mean, Make Music Day itself is an initiative to try and get people making music. And it was created in France, I think, in 1982. And if anyone's interested, refer back to last week's episode with Yanelise Morelli, where she talks about Make Music Day itself. Mm-hmm. This is really exciting. So then performers from countries around the world are all going to be performing, and you're essentially just going to pass the beat and a continued performance that links from one to the next. It is incredibly exciting.
It is so exciting. Yeah. I don't have a lot of details, but I'm excited. Mm-hmm. But I promise I will send you the everything that I have, and then where people can watch and the time, the exact time of my slot.
Wonderful. Well, it is an event that is in its evolution, so stay tuned and we will update everybody as we hear more info. So now a little off music day for us, make music day for a second, and back to your music. If someone were interested in beginning a journey into the African music world, where would you recommend they begin? What would be a starting point of something to listen to?
Find what type of African music you are interested in. Find the kind of instruments that you're in. I mean, we don't really have a lot, but they are, I'm in Southern Africa. There's one I'm interested in, Ohati, Umhube, or the playing of the drums, or the mbiras, or which one are you interested in? Like, find that. And then start there. I mean, there are people who teach people these instruments. People don't really have to go to university, because not all of us have that opportunity to. In fact, people get shocked when I tell them that I learned the instruments while I was a student. It's later that I discovered that my grandmother, my mother's side, used to play mhube. After, you know, playing for a long time, I just asked my mom about, you know, and then I found out that, in fact, your grandmother, she passed away in 85 and I was born in 86. She used to play mhube. I was like, and ma'am, you kept this information from me, type thing. You kept this information from me all this long. And I think it was not easy for her to talk about her mother. But just finding out that actually, because you grow up, people, you know, no one sees anyone playing these instruments. And then people tend to think, we don't know why you're interested. Who used to do this? Stuff like that. In isiXhosa, we call it ufuzebani. You know, who are you assimilating? And there was no one, only to find out there was someone who was my grandmother who used to play. So just finding that through the instrument. So for me, I would say find out exactly what it's, because at UCT when I was studying there were a lot of instruments that were presented in African music. But for me, I was drawn to these two instruments. And I'm just going to focus on these two. So there are a lot of instruments. One should start by finding out which one do they like. And also to understand that when you're taking up African music, unfortunately, we're not mainstream. Understand the challenges that we face, because the radio is not necessarily going to play our music. They'll probably play it on Heritage Day or Africa Month. And then after that, they play something else, right? So there are those challenges. But I think when you, I don't know if I'm passionate enough, but I think I am passionate about it. And I think that's why I'm still playing now. I still want to do shows. I still want to, because I want everybody to understand and to almost feel what I feel when I play the instruments. That is such a, I think that's asking too much of people. I would like for people to experience the thing that I feel when I play the instrument. So be very passionate and understand what the instrument mean, the instruments mean also. Because there's always something. I'm not saying that they are gods or anything, but there's something about connecting with an instrument. Like for me, because it's such a personal thing, and also finding out about my grandmother and all these things, it's personal. Even my PhD as well, it's also hearing stories from people talking about the instruments, and then like, actually, it's such a memory evoking object, this thing. It's not just an instrument, it's not just culture, it's not just a language, but it's also a memory evoking thing. Because if I'm hearing Ohadi, I'm going to find someone who's going to be like, I know that instrument. My great-grandmother did it. There's always a story when I'm carrying the instrument or after a performance. So I'm talking too much and I'm saying too much.
No, no, you're not. It's wonderful because it does lend itself to the opening of dialogue about something that means something.
Yeah.
Why is it so important that we preserve these instruments and we archive their history?
It's so important. I mean, to have to hear, I mean, 50 years from now, that Thande Kamfenyongo played this instrument in a time, in an era where there was a lot of music happening, in an era where there was just a lot happening. And then there was this person who used to play this. And then why did they want to play that? And seeing the instruments again, right? Because for me, I really, when I look at Uhadi, it is not just an instrument, but it's also the language that we sing in, the language. It means, for me, keeping or preserving the instruments, it also means preserving the language, preserving the culture. Because there's a lot happening, man, in the world, you know? And these instruments for me are almost like a grounding. I sort of find myself when I look at the instruments, because it's like a specific instrument. Like if for example, like we take the kora, right? The kora, we know the first thing that comes to mind is the jellies or the griots, right? And Mali, West Africa, everything. Like when you look at it, even the sound of it, it reminds you of something, right? So imagine having that thing that is sort of a driving force into whatever that is happening. It's like it's coming. The world is doing whatever that is it's doing. Like it's messy, and then there's this instrument or this thing that is just there to ground you, to pull you back and be like, okay, you know, what else can we do? I don't know if I'm making sense, but I feel like the instruments become so important, especially when it comes to like preserving culture, storytelling, and just knowing who you are, because that's what they've done for me. Knowing, and I can locate myself. I can be like, oh no, my grandmother used to play this, you know, confidently, because my mother told me. And when people ask like, why do you choose? Because it's still like a question where people are like, out of everything you could have done, why these traditional instruments? I'm like, I'm following my grandmother's footsteps. And I would like that to be a thing, like in the next, 50 years or 20 years when I'm a grandmother, to have that grounding thing.
And as you said, it chose you.
It feels like it chose me. It really, really, really does.
And now for anyone who wants to follow your journey and see what you're doing, what social media handle do you use?
I've not been active. I use Thande Kamfenyongo on Instagram, Thande Kamfenyongo on Facebook, Thande Kamfenyongo on YouTube, Thande Kamfenyongo. Oh, we actually have two singles I recorded two songs with my friends while I was in the UK. And we released those. When did we release this? Late last year, I think, yes.
Wonderful.
On iTunes, we messed around in the studio and then we came up with nice two tunes. So, we have that. We are called Aba Ambi. So, yeah, you can find us there. I don't have anything released that's mine. I'm hoping to next year at the latest. I need to put out an album. It's such a scary thing to do that, especially with the recording the instruments. Like, you want everything to, like, the authenticity of the music or of the instruments, the sound of the instruments to be captured really well, you know? It's very important. And I've been saying an album, I think since 2019, I'm going to release something, but I really want to do it. I feel like the songs that I have before, I feel like, I don't want to listen to them anymore, to just release them and then start on new journey. Yeah.
So now, 21 June, Pulsations, people can see you perform. We're going to put all the details in the links to the show notes so people can follow and see what's going on. That's really exciting. Thank you for coming and chatting about it. And I can't wait to tune in and see you play.
I can't wait either.
If you are an independent artist whose passion for what you do can inspire or fuel others, get in touch. I'd love to chat. You can find me on shotguntory.com.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.